This is New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Amacher. A hill of beans is how much the problems of three little people are worth in this crazy, mixed-up world. You might recall that famous quote from Humphrey Bogart in Casablanca. A hill of beans may amount to very little or nothing in most cases, but not in the case of E. Fagiolini, whose Italian name translates as little beans. The ensemble's director, Robert Hollingworth, says this colloquialism is a play on words.
When I was at Oxford University back in the 1980s, early music and period instrument performance was known as beanie music because most of the pros that came up the Pro Orchestra of the Academy of Ancient Music English Concert that seemed to come up to Oxford to do concerts with the choirs of New College in Christchurch and Magdalen, which was three great choral foundations, they seemed to be sort of yoghurt knitting vegetarians, and indeed I was one myself.
When it came time to choose a name on short notice for their first concert, someone said, "Why not Beans?" Hollingworth decided to Italianize the name to class it up a little bit, and that's how E. Fagiolini was born. Since founding the ensemble in 1986, Hollingworth and E. Fagiolini have earned a reputation for their inventive approach to early music. On their latest release, titled 1612 Italian Vespers, they're marking two 400-year anniversaries.
1612 is a nice date because it's the death of Giovanni Gabrieli, so good to remember him in his 400th anniversary year. But it's also the date of the publication of Lodovico Viadana's four-choir Vesper Psalms, which have never been recorded before.
Viadana had worked alongside Claudio Monteverdi, an inventive Italian composer of the late Renaissance. Echoes of Monteverdi's 1610 Vespers are heard in Viadana's Vespers, yet Hollingworth says Viadana was considered to be even more forward-thinking.
Now, what Viadana has done is make a much clearer distinction between five solo singers and accompanying choir. And then he has a third and a fourth group, which he says you can use or not use, depending on whether you have the right building for it, whether you have enough money to pay the performers. And so a main feature of this, apart from the multi-choir feature, is the dialogue between the solo group and the larger scale group.
While most of Giovanni Gabrieli's works have now been recorded, Robert Hollingworth explains there was a fragment of a Magnificat where only 8 of probably 28 parts exists. Normally, he says, it would be too difficult to reconstruct this polychoral piece.
But the scholar Hugh Keats noticed some telltale signs in the existing parts that really pointed the way to amazing discovery that the piece might have been written as a thanksgiving for their victory over the Turks at the Battle of Lepanto in 1571. And there are a lot of echo effects in the piece, and sometimes you have just one of the 8 voices, which is clearly working as an answer to something that's already been sung. So there are a lot of clues in the piece. And the Venetians in their processions were very keen on these fireworks, and there's evidence that the Turkish banners were brought out for some of the celebrations, that the captured Turkish banners. So we have we have bells and we have cannon explosions in the Magnificat as well. It's almost as much 1812 as it is 1612 at one particular point.
Robert Hollingworth clearly loves talking about this new recording, 1612 Italian Vespers, with zest and humor. He even cites Monty Python as an influence.
It's taken me 20-odd years to realize that having fun in rehearsals and on the concert stage is not a bad thing. But, Monty Python, they should all have been knighted by now, I think.
And that's New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Amacher.